This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, Global Warning. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Climate change will impact our health in many ways, but let's take a look at one specific condition, asthma. Millions of people have it, and warming temperatures could really affect how often they have attacks and how bad they are. Reporter Alan Yu has been looking into this, and he's here now to talk more. Hey, Alan.
Hi, Maiken.
So what do people say about climate change?
So interestingly, when you ask people with asthma what affects them, climate change is not top of their mind. They're more concerned with things that they can see and feel right now.
All kinds of trucks rolling through, kicking up all kinds of, dirt is dirt, but this is dirty dirt. Dust flying all over the place, and you got to breathe that stuff.
It's like sometimes you come outside, it looks muggy looking, smoky looking, and it has a smell to it all the time. That's every day, not only some days, just every day.
So it sounds like there's a lot to worry about already.
Yes, but climate change is on the minds of experts, people like pediatrician Tyra Bryant-Stevens.
Whether, in fact, climate change is contributing to more asthma or not, it's hard to say, but we do know that it definitely impacts asthma attacks and asthma hospitalizations.
Tyra is medical director and founder of the Community Asthma Prevention Program at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia.
Anything that increases airway inflammation is going to increase asthma symptoms and asthma attacks. I just wanted to kind of just make sure we had that in there somewhere.
So what is the exact connection here? How is climate change going to make asthma worse than it already is?
Okay, climate change 101. Burning fossil fuels like oil, coal, and gas puts more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. That changes the climate. And carbon dioxide is one of the raw materials in photosynthesis. That's the process that plants use to make food. More carbon dioxide means plants grow faster. And research shows that plants like ragweed and pine trees could release pollen sooner and release more of it, leading to a longer pollen season. And more pollen is, of course, bad news for people with asthma or allergies.
And when I think about asthma as a condition, Alan, there are already a bunch of factors that are really out of the control of individual people, right? It gets worse in terms of where you live or what you're exposed to.
Right. So let's zoom in on that and look at factors in our environments or in people's neighborhoods. Let's look in particular at one family. I met Angela Sutton. She has two sons. Both of them have asthma. Angela says she wonders if the asthma started because of where they lived, in a Philadelphia neighborhood called Germantown.
So when you would come out, sometimes you could walk in a puff of marijuana, or, you know, the neighbors was always cigarette butts everywhere.
The boys' father and grandmother were both heavy smokers. Their apartment was in a mice-infested building.
Unfortunately, nobody's holding these landlords accountable, so they're able to just rent out anything. People are just buying whatever they can afford. My best friend's children had asthma. Everybody had breathing problems. Everybody. Like, you would think it would be something rare, but it wasn't. It was so, everybody had a pump. Like, if one of your kids was outside at the playground, you could borrow somebody else's pump just to make sure they get some albuterol. I had to lend my pump out plenty of times.
When I was at her house, I also met Angela's oldest son. Jazeer Sutton is 17.
I like to dance. Consider myself a dancer. I like to play video games. I like to watch movies. Like, you know, typical teenager stuff.
About 10 years ago, he had a really scary incident.
I could not breathe at all, so we had called an ambulance truck, and they had put an oxygen tank on me, but it still wasn't working, so they had to rush me to the hospital, and they had to combine a steroid mixed with some other medicines in order to open up my lungs, because I just wasn't getting any oxygen.
Eventually, Angela moved her family to a different neighborhood, but that was hard for her financially. That move, her rent almost doubled afterwards, and that was a cost she had to shoulder on her own. Mike, and so these are the kinds of challenges that some public health people are looking at when they take care of people with asthma. These are not just personal problems.
Asthma is really about atmosphere. You know, it's not just about what's happening in the individual body, but it's about what we are breathing. And our breathing spaces are collective.
That's Allie Kenner, a professor of politics at Drexel University. She's been studying the experiences of people with asthma since 2009 and recently wrote a book called Breathtaking, Asthma Care in the Time of Climate Change. There's a shift in perspective in thinking about asthma as a societal problem.
Climate change is really pushing the issue here. Historically, you know, at least since the, you know, 1980s when the asthma epidemic emerged here in the U.S., you know, public health researchers, caregivers, doctors have talked about addressing asthma in terms of triggers. These are singular things: mold, pollen, dander, air pollution, cold air, exercise. So these are just singular things, but those aren't really how we live. We don't live through singular things.
And Alan, it sounds like Ali Kenner is thinking about all of these factors coming together. And I was thinking about the mom we just met, Angela, and how she moved her family from one part of Philadelphia to another to lessen the triggers they were experiencing. But now I'm thinking about a future where maybe we can't get away from these triggers because they'll be everywhere.
Right, so unfortunately, Ali Kenner's picture of what the future will look like, backed by the research, is that it could just be getting worse for people like Angela Sutton's two sons and other people with asthma. So, for example, climate change means more air pollution from things like ground-level ozone, and again, a longer pollen season and more extreme weather events.
And weather is another big trigger, right, when you have asthma.
Yes, that's something I heard a lot about from Jeffrey Coulter. He was diagnosed with asthma when he was 11.
Every time the season does change, I normally have a bad asthma attack where I have to get rushed to the emergency room because I'm gasping for air and my asthma pump at the time is not working.
Another issue that could change with changing weather is mold, because more flooding could mean more mold in houses. Jeffrey actually helps people retrofit their homes to help them save money, and running into mold is a risk at his job. He was doing work at a client's house.
And I went into the basement and I could not breathe at all. And the lady said, "What's wrong?" I said, "You have mold down here because it's killing my lungs right now." So I felt for whoever had to stay in that house that didn't have asthma that's potentially going to have it because they're living in this.
So mold could be getting worse because of climate change, more pollen, air pollution could get worse. Crazier weather patterns. That sounds like a lot. What do public health people say they want to do about this? Or are they just sort of shooting off a warning flare at this moment?
Right. Ali Kenner says one thing we could be pushing for are stricter regulations around air quality and air pollution. And we were kind of outside on a busy street at this point.
Is it politically feasible? We need to make it politically feasible. I mean, we're talking about public health. And if you look at the research on the public health impacts of air pollution, it far exceeds asthma alone. You know, we're talking about lots of different health conditions that are implicated by outdoor air pollution.
And she says hopefully the work from her and other asthma researchers will get the policymakers to pay attention.
Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, Maiken.